Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line. This is hour number two right here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wright. And we want to reset the conference championship odds here between the AFC and the NFC, and also talk about a new market that has come around here on the FanDuel Sportsbook for a team to reach that conference championship game. It's great, Donnie, to break these down, see where these numbers sit, again, before wild card weekend plays out, eliminating some of these teams here, shortening the field, which will, of course, shorten the odds. I want to start with the AFC, Donnie. The Chiefs are your favorites at plus 175. Plus 310, the second choice, the number one seed, Tennessee Titans. You then start to work back here as the Bills are plus 350, the Bengals are 8-1, Pats 10-1, and then some really long odds on either Vegas or Pittsburgh. What jumps out, Don, when you look at these AFC champion odds?
It's still the Tennessee Titans, Kevin, and why they are not the favorite. And I'm not even talking about, Kevin, hey, I need them to be a minus 100 here. You take a look at the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, who it's very hard. We've talked about this so many times, Kevin. You know, just the psychology of going like, yeah, I'm going to fade the Chiefs. Like, ooh, I don't want to watch this game because I know what technically can happen when Patrick Mahomes and that offense gets hot. They're a plus 175. But right behind them, if even they were in second, which the Tennessee Titans are in the odds race, I would think it'd be like a plus 220, plus 225. They're plus 310. They're way behind the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm always going to use this premise, Kevin. Sometimes you can't always use what happened in the regular season. But the Tennessee Titans ran the gauntlet at home and were waxing teams. And now you're going to say that they're going to be as healthy as they possibly can be heading into the playoffs with a bye. And, oh, yes, playing every single game at home if they continue to win. I like the Tennessee Titans at 310. And this isn't coming from a perspective, Kevin, where I'm saying, give me one team that's going to win the AFC. You're probably going with the Kansas City Chiefs and maybe the Buffalo Bills if they can get hot. So you're saying, well, Donnie, why would you say the Tennessee Titans? Because sometimes, and people will tell you a lot, it's about the pricing you're getting and what you think makes actual sense. They are home. They are going to be off a bye week. Those are the two most precious commodities in the playoffs that you can have, and also getting healthy. Derrick Henry didn't play for a majority of the season, and they were still able to hold down the top number one overall seed. If you get a healthy Derrick Henry right out of the gate, plus 310, Kevin, a steal to win the AFC.
It certainly jumps out, Donnie, but I want to talk about juices is different, no doubt. But I want to talk about the Tennessee Titans' odds to reach the AFC championship game. The thing that Tennessee has really in their favor is they cannot play both Kansas City and Buffalo in this run, as they are the two and the three. And more importantly to this discussion, they won't play either of those teams, if they play them at all, until the AFC championship game. Donnie, the Tennessee Titans are minus 160 to reach the AFC title game. This is almost in a way, Donnie, beating a line, right? I ask you, when you look at Cincinnati, New England, Vegas, and Pittsburgh, it's going to be one of those four for Tennessee, Donnie, here in the semifinal game that they're going to play at home off of a bye. What are you laughing at, man?
I know. This is great because I like this. This is the good part about having a host and a co-host here, where they lead you down the path, but you say, you know what? I'm straying off this path. I'm going to hang it right here. And the leader goes, no, back to the path here. So it was a nice transition for you to reach the AFC championship game when old DRS was sitting back here telling you who is actually going to win the AFC championship. So carry on, Kevin. Just wanted to let the good people know
that.
That's
all good. Yeah, no, you're doing a great job there, Donnie. Let's bring the radio audience into the fold, which is the first thing they get to hear there, is that Donnie's doing a great job. It's Kevin Walsh. It's DRS. Uh-huh. We're live here Thursday morning on Sports Grid. They have no idea what's going on. But I ask you this, Donnie. Is there a single team that the Titans could draw in that
in that first game for them in this AFC postseason where their money line would be less than minus 160?
I don't think so. I mean, you have to say, like, cause, I mean, who would, like, let's just say best case scenario, they play the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, that would be, you know, they'd be heavily favored in that game for them. But then if you're taking a look at some other options, no, like they should, like that minus 160, like, and we talk about, like, right, the juice rates here, minus 160 for them to reach the AFC Championship game, the Kansas City Chiefs 135, the Bills 185. I would be shocked if the Tennessee Titans don't reach the AFC Championship. What would have to happen? Just complete mayhem here where, oh, man, you arrested the team at the wrong time. Or, boy, it was a really bad idea, Kevin, to put Derrick Henry back into the lineup when he was actually healthy enough to play. That 160 price for me is great. And I don't think there's going to be a Steelers upset here. So if you take a look at the lower seeds, like maybe the New England Patriots can come in and really, like, slow things down. Or, you know, the Vegas Raiders, they're going to be heavily favored in any game they probably get here in that second round to actually get to the AFC Championship game. Not a bad price at 160 for me for them to actually reach there.
Yeah, I look at it, though, like, I don't like the Chiefs' price at minus 135 because Kansas City is favored to be playing Buffalo. We saw that game, and we saw that line be very, very tight. Yeah. I don't know how much great value you're getting on Kansas City there. I think Cincinnati's a little interesting, even though we're pumping up the tires here, of course, of the Tennessee Titans. A plus 220 potential money line on Cincinnati going to Tennessee there could make a little bit of sense as well. The AFC is interesting, certainly, as is the NFC. We'll have a comparable conversation here. Where is the value in the championship market and who might be playing in that championship game? That's all next as we are live inside hour number two of the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line. Taking a look at the NFC Championship. The Green Bay Packers sit as a plus 170 favorite. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the second choice, at plus 330. The Rams, 5-1. The Cowboys, 6-1. Then we start to work at those bigger numbers. San Fran, 10-1. Arizona, 12-1. And then the Philadelphia Eagles there, the disrespect, DRS, checking in at 30-1. And I have to say right off of the bat, Donnie, I look at the Niners and I look at the Cardinals. And I think to myself, and obviously tomorrow we'll try and, you know, nail down the specifics. But in a broader sense, Donnie, I think one of those teams wins this weekend. That's my expectation. That feels fair to say overall. And the thing about those two teams is if they win this weekend, there's nothing stopping them from winning the next game there. Like, San Fran, Donnie, is the perfect description of, oh, nobody wants to play them. The Green Bay Packers, while they would still be significant favorites in the game, would not be over the moon about having to play a San Francisco 49er team. If the Cardinals beat the Rams, it only continues the narrative that they are just this unstoppable force on the road, as they have been all season. Of course, Donnie, it's better when you can narrow it down and say, give me San Fran or give me Arizona. But both of those teams, Donnie, at a better than 10-1 number, or at least the 10-1 number, makes sense to me when I'm looking at these NFC championship odds.
No, it does. And you sort of work your way down, because we just talked about, like, making the AFC championship game. And I'm telling you, like, man, Tennessee's really going to be in there. I got to tell you, the road to the NFC championship game to me is a lot harder there for the Green Bay Packers. Because let's just say the Philadelphia Eagles do. That's probably the matchup they want, right? Lowest seed in there, you know, younger quarterback coming to Lambeau off a bye, not going to be able to win. But you're talking about some teams there. Like, let's just say, again, it's Green Bay. It's mid-January. It's probably going to be colder conditions. You could get the San Francisco 49ers in there, the Rams in there, the Cardinals in there. You have some really athletic teams with some high pedigree that can sort of knock you down. So I think it's a little bit tougher. But looking at the NFC Championship game as a whole, you know, I still think the Dallas Cowboys are intriguing here at a 6-1 price, because when they get their offense going, and how do you win in the playoffs, right? You need a devastating pass rush, which they can give you. You need an offense that, when it's clicking, can run up 30-plus points. They can do that here. So I think there's a lot of good stuff. The one thing that keeps holding me back, and it's always going to be doing it, because if you could just say to yourself, I can improve the play of Jimmy Garoppolo, you would say, boy, the Niners are going to be a live wire in this playoff run because of a quarterback that can stand in the pocket and deliver of a Kyle Shanahan offense where seeming like everybody is open and the running game always works. That can happen. But I can't see it again where I go into the playoffs with Jimmy Garoppolo or even have a slow start like we saw from Jimmy Garoppolo against the Los Angeles Rams and say, I need this guy to win me a football game. Because I still think no matter what Kyle Shanahan says each and every week, boy, Jimmy's a great quarterback. He's playing good football. There's still something in the back of his head that goes, I can't let Jimmy Garoppolo self-destruct out here and cost us a chance at a playoff victory. So when I see the San Francisco 49ers at a 10-1 price, I think it's valid, and it's certainly a good look. But at the same time, I'm saying, man, I don't want to be caught in this spot where it's like, man, I put my money on Jimmy Garoppolo, and I knew I shouldn't have done it because I don't even think the head coach trusts the starting quarterback.
You know, it's funny, Donnie, as we're sitting here and we're talking a little more about Jimmy G, I couldn't kind of help myself but try and see if there were listed odds on Trey Lance for Super Bowl MVP. There are not listed odds for Trey Lance on Super Bowl MVP. Now, listen, Trey Lance is not going to get thrusted into that game as they're trailing and win and come back and win Super Bowl MVP. It's about that thumb. He's not... Here's the thing about Garoppolo, Donnie. When he throws a pick six this week to Trevon Diggs and all of a sudden they lose because Garoppolo threw multiple interceptions and everyone's like, yeah, well, he wasn't healthy. Whose fault is that? The Niners? Like, it's just... But that's why I bring up Trey Lance, Donnie, because there's a world where he just plays kind of based on the health of it all here. When you take a look, though, you know, DRS, at this reach the NFC Championship game odds, I kind of have to ask a comparable question about the Green Bay Packers. And is that minus 180 number legitimate value? I have to say, I don't actually think so. I know that they will be favored over anyone that they were to play. But let's just say, Donnie, favorites hold in the 2-7 and 3-6, right? That means that Green Bay is going to either draw Arizona or the Rams. Now, again, it wouldn't play out this way a second time. But, Donnie, the Rams were favored when they went to Green Bay already this season. I don't know if the Packers are minus 180 guaranteed going into whomever they would see in their opening postseason game.
You're right. And you say, hey, dome team going outdoors, you know, that certainly makes a difference. One team's rested. I understand that as well. And that's going to be a big factor once they do meet up. But if it's the Rams, when you try to look at these games, Kevin, and what makes the most sense, you want to look at the ceiling. So if you say to yourself, all right, we know Green Bay is really good. That's why they have the top overall seed in the NFL, and they're going to be home for the playoffs if they continue to win. But when the Rams are right, Kevin, what I mean is Matthew Stafford is on. 26 of 32, right? Cooper Kupp, you can't defend him here. Odell Beckham Jr., oh my goodness, he just ran a deep route and caught a 65-yard touchdown this game. And then you flip it over to the other side because the ultimate equalizer of a very good quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is get pressure immediately in his face. Hey, Aaron Donald, the best probably to ever do it from the defensive tackle position. So when they are right, and if they do get the Los Angeles Rams, that's not a cakewalk. Like, you don't enter in that game, like, okay, good, we're going to take this game down, and then it's going to be a bigger shot here in the NFC Championship game. No, you're going to get a 10-bell effort right off the bat. And also, what we talk about, Kevin, you're not getting Brandon Staley coming into this game saying, hey, let's see what he does and if he goes for on 4th-and-2 mm-hmm. on his own 30-yard line. You're getting Sean McVay. One of the best, if not the best, elite play callers in the NFL. That team will be ready. And also keep in mind, Kevin, if you see that game on Monday Night Football, let's just say the Rams win 31-17. You're getting a hot Rams team coming into that game. Because, look, I know they lost to the 49ers. You could play devil's advocate and say they should have won up 17-0. Let's just say the Rams did win that game, then beat the Cardinals. There's no gimme in that game, even though you're at home off a bye for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Here's how we'll close out the NFC portion of it, DRS. The Eagles, 30-1 to win the conference, 12-1 to make the conference championship game. Here's the problem that I keep running into with the Philadelphia Eagles. I genuinely believe have a chance to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. If they win that game, they go to Green Bay. No matter who you are, Donnie, much less a 9-8 team that wasn't supposed to be in the playoffs anyway, going on the road and beating Tom Brady and then going on the road and beating Aaron Rodgers is a bit of a ridiculous ask for anyone. And that's why I think I'd rather, if you really believe in it, which I believe in it this week, And then if they win, of course, I'll believe in it next week, Donnie. I'd rather be betting, I think, single game money lines maybe than more than worrying about 30-1 odds to win a conference.
You're right. And this is why you're the seventh seed getting in. And this is why the road is hard, because A, you're the seventh seed, and B, you are the seventh seed for a reason, and you're not that good a football team. And you also hit the nail on the head. This isn't like, hey, and nothing against Ryan Tannehill, right? Nothing against, you know, hey, they're the number one overall seed. But when you're playing elite quarterbacks, and I'm not even talking about Kevin, hey, he had a good season. I'm talking about in the history of the NFL. Yeah. Now, we know Tampa Bay, they already play well at home. But you're going in one of the most historic places where home field advantage probably means more than 95% of any other home fields, and that's with the Green Bay Packers. And, oh, yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback. That's a tall tale. And this isn't a team that's revved up, fired up, and coming in like, hey, that 2017 NFL champion Philadelphia Eagles. This is a team with basically a young quarterback trying to find his way, still a little bit injured, not a great passing game. That's a Herculean effort here. But I'm all for it, Kevin, if it does happen.
It would be nice to see. It's a good point by you just to kind of make the point again. When you talk about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, it's not, man, those are two of the best quarterbacks in the league. Like, there are people who might argue to you those are the two best quarterbacks ever. And they're both just – Donnie, we're talking about they're going to finish 1-2 in the MVP race. Yes. Like, you're talking about the two best quarterbacks this season in the NFL. Not a great ask. Not an easy ask at the minimum for the Philadelphia Eagles. That'll do it for the NFL breakdown here on a Thursday. Again, tomorrow, full blown out wild card weekend preview show. We're giving you absolutely everything that you need, props, sides, totals, and weekly specials and the like. But we pause that all and we talk Thursday action, college basketball. The Zags are playing against BYU. We'll break that all down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Basketball time here on the early line. The College Basketball Board certainly offering some interesting ones. The West Coast heavily featured, and I want to start with the West Coast, Donnie. Gonzaga's in action. And the funny thing about Gonzaga is we don't talk about them a lot, especially not now that we're into WCC play. They're on ESPN2. It's at 11 p.m. Just throw – actually, I don't care. They're going to say in the WCC, keep throwing it. Throw them on ESPN News for all I care. They're playing, though, BYU, Donnie. This is supposed to be probably one of the bigger games Gonzaga is going to play during conference play. They're a 14.5-point favorite here in the game. Also, you see a Gonzaga total, 151.5. You always like to see that. The last game they played – 200 points in a college basketball game, which is wild. Talk to me, though, Donnie. Zags, BYU, what are your expectations?
Yeah, actually getting some underplay here, Kevin, because as I was doing some of the numbers early this morning, we had this listed at a 153, so dropping, and DRS is going to agree with that. I'm going to let you know why in just a few minutes here, but just doing a little bit of background checking on these two, Kevin. BYU 2-0 in conference play, Gonzaga 1-0 in conference play. BYU, true road games this year, Kevin, 3-1. And then if we take a look at Gonzaga at home at the Kennel, always very good, Kevin, sitting there at 9-0. And let's also remind ourselves here, over the holidays and everything, say, how did Gonzaga do on the road? They didn't do anything on the road, Kevin. They've been home for a full month here of basketball games, and that's going to continue tonight versus BYU. What do we like overall about the game itself? We know Gonzaga is elite on offense. We know BYU has a decent offense here. But also, taking a look at both of these teams, and since they've only played a few games in conference play, each having two, obviously BYU having two games and also Gonzaga only one game, you got to more rely on the statistics for the entirety of the regular season. So if we look at the offensive numbers here, both, as I said, very good. Gonzaga, top three in the nation, Kevin, in offensive efficiency. They're always really good. But if you take a look at the defenses here, Kevin, both of these teams in the top 20. And we take a look here at Gonzaga on defense overall, top 10 in the nation at defensive efficiency. So we know how ultra potent these two offenses can be here. But also, take a look at that. That 153 price, which I have circled here as an underplay, now sits at 151. So some people thinking on the same side because it is hard. You know, again, I talk about the Kansas City Chiefs so many times. You don't want to bet against them or take a team total under because of how electric they can be on offense. The same thing goes here for the Gonzaga Bulldogs, where you say, are you nuts? They can get, you know, 95 themselves tonight, and I understand it. But I'm looking more at a more defensive measure. If I'm getting two top 20 defenses in here, all I need is one of those stretch, Kevins, where, hey, only 2 points were scored over the last 3 minutes, and you should have yourself a decent shot. And also, the number I'm always going to take a look at, if we expect this game to be a blow-up, not 25, 30 points, but anything over double digits, you don't get that second half explosion, and maybe the game tightens up or even slows down as it goes here. I'll sit on that under 152 as we're listed here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It was 153 earlier. Let's see where it settles in. But again, me talking about unders, who'd have thought?
It worked yesterday. It was fun. Like yesterday, we were just kind of like spinning around of all the. I think we talked three games yesterday, and Don's like, "Look, sorry, but I like all unders." And I think they were all unders in the college basketball board. But one also thing that happened yesterday, we talked a lot about Villanova Xavier, and Nova won that game, covered the number, but they got up by 17 in that first half, and we saw the Xavier catch at 1.13.5 point live. Which is just a good reminder of how valuable live betting can be. And maybe, Donnie, specifically in this instance here, if you talk about that under, right, where maybe that first half is explosive. Gonzaga, run, build up that lead. They're up double digits. Let's slow it down in the second half. Yeah. That live total touches 160, and it could still stay under the 152, but certainly under a live number there. Let's stick West Coast action, Donnie. Number three, UCLA, is going to take the court against Oregon. The Ducks, one of the early season disappointers, Donnie, I think is a fair label for them. Starting to play a little bit better, though, after they lost to the Baylor Bears. They're winners of three in a row, and they've been playing a little bit better here in conference. But the Bruins, Donnie, a 10-1 record. I've made the point, it feels like I just haven't seen UCLA play in so long. They had a long COVID layoff. They have been back in action. They've played twice. Have not been able to cover, though, in either of those games. However, tonight, the Ducks, could it be a good spot to back the Bruins?
It'll be interesting here, to say the least. And also, you know, sort of straying into a team total range. I'm going to tell you which team total over under I'd like here in just a few moments. But looking at these games itself, Oregon 1-1 in true road games this year. UCLA 6 at home overall. Four games in conference play for Oregon, Kevin. They split those both at 2-2. UCLA is 2-0 in conference play. Now, we take a look here. Slow tempo for Oregon on offense. And also, one of the key contributors here for UCLA, good basketball team. You know, their only loss to this year? No shame in the game to Gonzaga. So you take a look at here at Pauley Pavilion tonight. Here's the key indicator if you go back and forth of what I like. We're looking at UCLA and Oregon. If we look at just the totality of the season, because we don't have enough to really zero in on just Pac-12 conference play numbers, Oregon top 30 offense in the country, UCLA top 15. So you say to yourself, okay, might have some offensive chances here. But then again, the Oregon is a little bit slower on offense. Two teams that play decent defense, UCLA in the top 20, Oregon sitting out there outside around 130. So there's a discrepancy here. Here's where some of the things fall down and what's probably going to make the most sense here when you get into it, Kevin. When you're looking at team totals and what you like here, 38% from three-point range here for the UCLA Bruins. That's always going to help you out here. Turnover percentage, Kevin, 13.7% of the possessions they have, they turn it over. That's top 10 in the country, meaning that they are also getting more shots up. And when you get more shots up, how about this as well? Top 40 in the country, Kevin, for offensive rebounding. So if you combine that all together, efficiency on offense is there. Not turning the basketball over. Also, when you take a look at shooting three-pointers at a high clip, that means more possessions and more quality possessions here if we take a look. So UCLA's offense, top 15 in the country, going against a lesser defense in Oregon. I don't see the numbers, or they weren't up here before the show started, but maybe the possibility for me, Kev, looking at UCLA team total to the over here at Pauley Pavilion.
Let me double-check, see if that exact team total has been listed. Obviously, you can always kind of do the math, Donnie. It's probably, you know, 75.5, 76.5, all depending, all in all. But even, Donnie, just that pure over, 8 of the last 9 for the Ducks, over, including both true road games this season. UCLA, 5 of their 6 home games this year, over. Someone tell B-Rutz, load up the unit machine. They might be giving out points here in UCLA, Oregon. Another West Coast game, Arizona, Colorado. I really like this Arizona team. Now, this might be because their game against Illinois was on the road. It was fun to watch. It was high scoring, and they battled in that one. And maybe that one is just kind of has me so high on this group here, Donnie. Regardless, though, 16 points in conference will always look like a lot. A total there checking in at 150.5. This Arizona Wildcats team, Donnie, they have their eyes on the UCLA Bruins, right? USC, we know, is meant to be in the mix in terms of this Pac-12 race here, but they just dropped the game to Stanford. It's the nature of conference play. You never expect these losses to come at home. Then again, the Baylor Bears, Donnie, we just saw them drop a game at home to Texas Tech. Arizona, Colorado, what are you seeing?
Yeah, Arizona, tempo, tempo, and more tempo here. And when you take a look at sometimes, Kevin, tempo doesn't make up for, you know, offensive efficiencies here. They're very efficient on offense. And also when you take a look here, what they do well, extremely good at rebounding on offense. They shoot the three-pointer at 36%, which is fine. Also inside the arc, Kevin, close to 58%, and shoot decently here from the free throw line at 72%. But just doing a little bit of background checks on these two, 3-1 in conference play for Colorado, 2-0 here for Arizona. But if we look at the road games here, Colorado on the season, Kevin, 0-1 on the road in true road games. But get this, they actually haven't even been on the road, Kevin, since December the 1st. So it seems like they were probably home in Boulder for quite a bit, and now finally going back on the road. That's why you see that ultra-high line at this point. So if we're going to take a look at a team in Arizona that plays with a lot of tempo, a team in Colorado that goes on the road here and hasn't played in a while and only lost their only road trip that they had, but I got to tell you, I still look at the college aspect of this game. Colorado is not a bad team. You're asking Arizona to blow the doors off of Colorado, essentially, in a 20-point victory. I'm still going to hang on to that price. If I'm going to get 16 at game time here out on the West Coast with a decent Colorado team, I'll take my chances, even though, Kevin, Arizona is very good on offense, and they can bury their opponents.
So it's really interesting, Donnie, that you brought up their 0-1 record right in a road game. It was against UCLA. They were catching 13.5. Lost the game by 12. Very tight, kind of within the numbers. What's so interesting, though, to me, now, over a month has passed, Donnie, since. But the fact that Arizona's laying a bigger number here than the UCLA Bruins. Maybe it was a spot for UCLA. Maybe it's the spot here for Arizona, Donnie. But if Colorado was able to cover against UCLA, I think it could certainly make some sense if they're able to cover against Arizona. We have enough time to bring up, Donnie, a ranked Big Ten game here between Wisconsin and Ohio State. Always going to jump out, I think, to people when you start to get rematches, Donnie, in conference play. We saw this one, but it was a home game for Ohio State, and it was a rout, really, for the Buckeyes. An 18-point victory is 5-point favorites. A little Wisconsin revenge, Donnie.
Here we go here, too. Take a look at both of these teams, Kevin. 5 games in conference play, so you can use a little bit more of the statistics in these ones than the other games we've talked about here. Here's the key matchup, and here's what's going to make the most sense here. Ohio State on offense, Kevin, if they can get to the free throw line, 86% for as a team. Mm-hmm. Best overall in conference play. Sensational stuff here, but it's the battle of the three-point line. Live by the three, die by the three. Take a look at these two statistics here. Number one in conference play here for Ohio State at shooting three-pointers, not making them, at 47%. So basically half of their shots come from three-point range. They actually make them at a 40% clip. Flip it over quickly here to Wisconsin. They only shoot 24% from three-point range in conference play. Give me the points in this game. I'm going with the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Could also just be points in general. Wisconsin, 5 straight overs. NBA overs? We'll break all down the NBA games next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA time here on Sports Grid early Thursday morning. Looking at these lines, where could things move? Man, yesterday it did serve as a good reminder, though, Donnie, of just how drastic things can kind of shape up. That you and I talked Bulls Nets, total was 229, and a bunch of people just, you know, they got that crust out of their eyes and went, huh? 10 points too light. It closed at 238. I still can't believe that.
No, it's pretty crazy because that is a massive line movement. When we're still anticipating, it wasn't like we got like guys back from surprise. Like we pretty much knew the players in the game, and for a line to move 10 points is incredible. And it wasn't like, oh, this is a bad line, Kevin. 202.5 to 212.5. It was already astronomical and went into the stratosphere after that.
And I like the, which means that everyone was betting the overs, and you got to imagine, like, in the room, like, what'd you want us to do? Hang 250. Like, we couldn't hang 250. Yeah. What an unbelievable set of circumstances there, though. Fun game last night. And I think, Donnie, we could have ourselves another fun one here in prime time between the Bucks and the Dubs. Milwaukee laying a two spot here to Golden State. Draymond Green expected to be out for this basketball game once again for Golden State. The total right now here on FanDuel, 223, maybe working its way up to that 223.5 spot here. Bucks, Warriors, DRS, certainly the game of the night in the NBA. What jumps out?
I got to tell you, you look at the line there at the FanDuel Sportsbook at -2.5. I got to tell you, the Bucks jump out here as a -2.5 point favorite. Mm-hmm. I think that's a little bit light. You even said at the other game when we took the court, when the Golden State Warriors took the court against the Grizzlies, and you say to yourself, like, well, what's going to make sense? I don't think this team should be favored in the spot. And right, they got beat there. So until we get a Draymond Green, which again, I usually hate a lot about on Draymond Green, but he fits perfectly on that basketball team. And even though he's not an offensive maven, he still gets the assists. He still sets the picks, gets some of these guys open three looks that they normally don't get. And he's been out of the lineup, and you can see the deficiencies now a little bit in the Warriors' offense. But also, you take a look at the total here, Kevin, at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 223. Usually you'd say, whoa, Bucks score a lot, Golden State Warriors score a lot. But at this time now, are we still believing in the Warriors that they can climb over these roughly 225-point totals and continue to go over? Because they've been an under season or an under team this entire season. It's what matches up well. What are we going to see out of Klay Thompson tonight? Are we going to start to take the restrictor plates off here for him? Are we still going to have the 20 minutes and that's enough, so hurry up and get your shots in. Even if you're hot or not, you're going to go to the bench. Remember, we used to see that with the New Orleans Pelicans with Zion Williamson. Like, hey, the guy's hot. Let him play an extra 3 minutes. Oh, he's got his restriction here. We'll take the loss as opposed to him putting another 3 minutes on his knees or his feet. So when you take a look at this game, Steph Curry's going to have to step up here, Kevin. Steph's going to have another triple-double performance to keep them in this ballgame. And, oh, yeah, maybe not go like 2 of 9 or 2 for 10 from three-point range. If you can get, Kevin, a vintage Steph Curry performance, and I'm talking like 35 points, 9 of, 14 from three-point range. That's what it's going to take to keep him in. But to keep a long story short in this one, I look towards the Milwaukee Bucks tonight. I think they can get the job done and win by more than 3 points.
My early thoughts are similar, Donnie. I look at Milwaukee here. I look at Milwaukee at home, and the fact that Draymond Green is out, I think matters, right? We saw it matter against Memphis, and I don't see why it wouldn't matter here against the Milwaukee Bucks. The hesitation would be, what is going on kind of with this Bucks team here, DRS? A very odd four-game or five-game window to be offering.
Yeah.
Lose to the Detroit Pistons, the Toronto Raptors, win on the road against the Brooklyn Nets, and then back-to-back losses against the Charlotte Hornets. Now, if it's a, the one thing that I really do believe happened with Milwaukee, Donnie, is they spent 2 years chasing, like, we must be the best team in the NBA. It didn't work in either one of those postseasons. Then the year they win the NBA championship, somewhat due to, absences with COVID and things of the nature, they're not the number one seed. In fact, they're the 3 seed. They win the title. I do wonder if now they're a little more vulnerable to that regular season lull, that contenders typically get, Donnie. And so tonight, though, at home, I think they will get up for the basketball game. I want to talk props in a minute, but I want to talk about the MVP award quickly. I've constantly talked about Steph, this race, his lead slipping. And that, at this point, that's not even an opinion. His odds at one point were as high as +115. They've come back to +150. He remains the favorite. Kevin Durant, though, Donnie, is at a 2-to-1 price here, closing the gap. The interesting thing, though, is that Giannis Antetokounmpo's numbers are MVP worthy. No doubt about it. You look this year, Donnie, he's averaging 28.4 points per game, 11.5 rebounds, and 6 assists. Go back, Donnie, to his first MVP season. He's averaging more points and assists per game. Giannis is putting up numbers that justify winning the MVP. And I know it's not the same in the NBA as it is in the NFL. There's only 17 games, and the primetime ones are watched by way more people in the NFL and the NBA. But this is a marquee matchup here, Donnie. No Thursday night football to battle against. I look at that Giannis plus 750 number, Donnie, and if he gets the better of Steph Curry, I don't think it's out of bounds to say that that could be 6-1 when you wake up on Friday morning.
Yeah, if he has a monster game, you're right. But if we're taking a look at the NBA season in totality, Kevin, and it's the same issues that come up time and time again, and it's a shame for these guys. When you win an MVP award and you have a repeat performance the following year of identical stats, the voters go, eh, saw it last year. No, wait. He's the best player in the NBA. Yeah, but he won it last year. We have to give it to somebody new. And it just feels like that's going to hold it against Giannis unless they, A, get the number one seed again. He averages 40 points a game the rest of the way. It's almost not fair. We talk about like Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes if they win it with 45 touchdown passes. Hey, Aaron had 52 touchdown passes this year. Ah, yeah, but he won it last year. Well, wait, he's 10 clear of anybody else. Doesn't matter. He won it last year. He's got to almost like double his statistics. So I think that matters. But from the point you're bringing up, these are the games that we take a look at when we see the MVP race, because outside of the totality of the NBA season, on a night-to-night monotonous games, you know, January, February, not paying much attention. Oh, how'd Steph Curry do? Oh, he had 30. Well, how'd Giannis do? Oh, he had 35. Okay, that's fine. But now when they meet up, you see them both on the court in a national game.
Yep.
There's a lot that factors into that, and you're right. If you see Steph Curry tonight, because why did he get the big bump? Going into Madison Square Garden, splashing down threes, the all-time greatest performer from three-point range. That's where he gets the bump from. And also, oh, yeah, Golden State's a pretty good basketball team. So now you see them in a game tonight. If Steph goes out in this game, as I said, 35 points, 9 three-pointers made, he might even increase his lead and go from a plus 150 to a plus 135 the same way. But I like where you're going here. If Giannis takes the stage tonight, they win, and he's dominant. I don't know, triple-double. He's going to improve his odds, no doubt about it.
And also then, Donnie, the player performance double markets in this game. Again, shout out our guy, JY. I'm sure he'll be looking at this one here. It's one of those games, Donnie, we talk about them, where the line is so short, you could justify playing a Warriors player and a Bucks player here. You know, the Giannis double-double in a win, plus 136. Giannis double-doubles almost always feel like they're coming in. But I'll even say, even though, Donnie, both you and I this morning think Bucks, Steph for 30-plus in a victory, plus 450. That's a huge number for Steph Curry, Donnie. A listed points prop of 26.5. That's an extra three-point shot. And he's probably going to need 30, Donnie, for them to win the basketball game.
Yep, perfect correlation. And also, you know the FanDuel Sportsbook's going to be cooking up something deep for this game, Kev. Yeah. We have way too many superstars in this game. So can you see one of those where Steph gets 30, Giannis gets 30, odds boost out there? Talk to me, FanDuel. Talk to me.
Combined for 60, not 70.
Ooh, even better.
Combined for 60.
Yes.
That's all we need.
Yeah, yeah.
Not 70, okay? Combined for 60, and the people will be involved. We're begging, even though New York, I won't be able to have any fun anyways. Actually,
I'll
make it 70. That way I don't feel bad.
Yeah,
exactly. DRS, I want to talk about the team that just beat the Golden State Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies here. Playing a spot tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Timberwolves had themselves a little four-game win streak snap because Brandon Ingram basically turned into Steph Curry. I think 6 of 7 from deep in that game. Memphis carries in a 10-game win streak here, laying a 5 spot at home. This total right now, Donnie, nice and high, 230, 229.5. Just kind of depends when you're going to be able to get in here. What do you think about Memphis, Minnesota?
I love the way Memphis has been playing, and I'll ride that out here. So you take a look at, you know, 5.5-point spread here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But take a look here. These are getting the good times, Kevin. You talked about this, you know, time and time again. Like, man, look at these. Sometimes these live over-unders under 200 in these NBA games. Like, what happened to NBA scoring? Now we're starting to see the fruits of our labor here as a 230 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. So what does that do for us, what we like to do? How about, you know, points, rebounds, and assists? Hey, John Morant looks like that might be a good one. 3-point shots made. D'Angelo Russell out here. Anthony Edwards. Man. We should get points in this game, and it'll be a fun one to cheer on the over 230. But I like the way the Grizzlies are playing. Give me the Grizzlies in this game. I'll lay the 5.5.
I'll tell you one thing that jumped out to me. I saw the line. I went, is that light on Memphis? Because if it's going to be light on Memphis, Donnie, it's going to probably be intentional. 10-game win streak, beat the Golden State Warriors. I said, can I find reasons to back Minnesota? 10-5 against the number as a road dog so far this year. Memphis is actually only 8-8 against the number as a home favorite, despite covering 9 of the 10 games in this win streak. But here's the really interesting thing, Donnie. Two games between these teams this year. Memphis won the first game in overtime. They did cover in overtime, but in that first, you know, in 48, they did not cover, obviously, go to overtime. They were the favorites in the game. The second matchup, Donnie, in Minnesota, the Timberwolves won the game by like 40 points. I think it was 138-95, if I'm not mistaken, something along those lines there. I think Minnesota can hang in this game off of that close one that they played against New Orleans. We see this one a little bit different, though I will let people know in Play Sports tonight, there's a good chance Donnie and I will see this one just the same. This is a beautiful three-point prop parlay game. D'Angelo Russell, as he mentioned, you know, Desmond Bane. And these are, like, it's one of those games, Donnie, you have those climb the ladder guys. Anthony Edwards and Bane for four each, plus 300, plus 400. And you got legitimate chances with guys like that.
No, fun stuff. And that's exactly what you look forward to. It's a lot more fun when you're taking overs, Kevin, at a 230 price tag for a total than it is at a 202 and a half. So we should get some interesting environment there. But I do look for, again, Memphis Grizzlies for another good performance. Keep ride the streaks, as they like to say, Kevin.
Also, Donnie, classic letdown spot here for Brooklyn. No, laying out against the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Nets, legitimately the absolute worst team at home this year, against the number 416 and 1 ATS. That cover against the Bulls was their first cover. That stopped a seven-game non-cover streak here. I know it's OKC, DRS, but they've covered seven of their last 10. They've got a winning record against the number as a dog this year, as a road dog this year. I think you have to take the Thunder plus the points.
Yeah, no Kyrie Irving in this game. Why? Because they're playing in Brooklyn, so he can't play with the mandates there. But also, are we going to get a heat check in this game by De'Ron Sharpe once again here? Maybe he leads the way. Anticipated starting lineup, though, doesn't have him listed tonight. James Harden, David Duke, DeAndre Bembry, Kevin Durant, and Nick Claxton due to start. But you're right. If you're looking for an environment where one of these teams that's not supposed to really compete with the Nets, where the Nets go, hey, look, we played last night. That was our big game. We went out and shined. Let's get the win and get out of town here for the Brooklyn Nets. I can see why you're leaning towards the Oklahoma City Thunder in this game as well.
1-4-1 against the number for Brooklyn when they're playing on the second leg of a back-to-back here. If you lose this one because KD and Harden go absolutely buck wild, fair enough. But oddly, I'll live with that here. I can't live with, oh, the Nets are back. Beautiful. Let me go lay double digits. And then they're down six midway through the fourth quarter. I will say, though, it opens up the player props on the Nets maybe a little bit more. We always talk about worrying about the blowouts in the NBA. If the Thunder are scrappy here, you're getting big nights from Harden and big nights from Durant. So keep that in mind. That'll do it for the NBA breakdown. Donnie Wrightside will be closing out the early line with Listen Up here on Thursday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day here for a Thursday on the early line. Johnny Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. We carried you through from 7 to 9 before we handed off to Ben Stevens and the morning after. So thank you guys for tuning in here to the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. I am so excited and I just can't hide it. Wild Card Weekend is up. Listen up, people. Who's excited? This guy right here is excited because Super Wild Card Weekend is just about on tap here as we sit here on a Thursday getting ready for the doubleheader on Saturday, three games on Sunday, and yes, a Monday Night Football playoff game. Who could ask for anything more? Now, the question is here, is how are you going to divide your time up watching all these games? I love the fact that you get it started off here at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. That nice appetizer game here with the Las Vegas Raiders and the Cincinnati Bengals. You then flip it over to New England and Buffalo, then lose three games on Sunday between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Philadelphia Eagles, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Dallas Cowboys, and then the nightcap there with Pittsburgh and Kansas City. And of course, as I said, followed by a Monday night playoff game, the first time in history. But as I said here, the most exciting matchup for Super Wild Card card weekend. Which one is it for you here? Are you excited? I love the game that's going to come up here between the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. Don't get it wrong here. -3, that should be a white-knuckle game all the way through. Or how about me getting really excited for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Cheering on my birds here. Back into the playoffs, but facing Tom Brady. That should be interesting. Or how about the last game possibly in the NFL career for Ben Roethlisberger? But no. That's not the most exciting game. This is going to take place on Saturday night. The New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills in freezing cold conditions in upstate New York. A 4-point line that's listed right now. What are we getting out of Bill Belichick in this game? Are we going to say, Mac Jones, you can't throw the football in 0-degree temperatures. We're going to run it 100 times in this game. Is Josh Allen going to have to run for 100 yards, pass for 300 yards? The most exciting game of wild card weekend this weekend? You guessed it for me. The Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. You know what else should be equally exciting coming up here? Ben Stevens here on the Morning After on the Sports Grid Network the next 3 hours. For Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh and the Early Line, see you tomorrow.